If you need a Bible, slip your hand up. We'd love you to follow along with us through God's Word.
Yes, Pastor, I forgot my Bible.
Okay, we'll get right to you. Joe, give that lady a Bible, would you please? Can I get you some water? Are you hungry? We'll take you out to breakfast. Yeah. Oh, it's going to be one of those days. What did you guys bring with you here this morning?
What do you mean, going to be?
Yeah, as Andrew had mentioned, it's going to be a short message this morning. I'll keep it under 2.5 hours or so. Yeah. Just teasing. 8 verses. Revelation 15, the revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 15 this morning. It's the shortest chapter in the whole book of Revelation. It's 8 verses. Are you talking about God's perfect timing? It gives Terry and Nancy more time to lead us in worship here this morning. And so I'll do the best I can to get through this quickly. Works out perfectly. And again, welcome to Terry and Nancy Clark. After the conclusion of our text this morning, don't run off, because we're going to worship the Lord together as long as the Spirit leads us. So here we are, the revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 15. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth. In a world filled with half-truths and fake news and lies, we thank you, Lord, that we have the truth of God in your word, in our laps, in our minds, in our hearts here this morning. And so may we have open ears along with open Bibles and open hearts to receive your word, which is like seed, that it would be planted in good soil. We get out the rocks and the weeds. And Lord, that it would be good, rich soil to receive your word, that we would bear much fruit. So, Lord, you be the teacher this morning through your word and through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll look at the first 8 verses, which is all we have, and then we'll come back and touch on them a little bit here this morning. And this is what the word of the Lord says. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, 7 angels having the 7 last plagues. For in them the wrath of God is complete. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all nations shall come and worship before you. For your judgments have been manifested. After these things I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And out of the temple came the 7 angels, having the 7 plagues, or bowls, we'll see next week, if we're still here, clothed in pure bright linen and having their chests girded with golden bands. Then one of the 4 living creatures gave to the 7 angels 7 golden bowls, full of the wrath of God, who lives forever and ever. The temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no one was able to enter the temple till the 7 plagues of the 7 angels were complete. And so we need to be mindful again of where we began in the revelation of Jesus Christ. In verse 1, where it says, I, of course, this is the Apostle John. I love it that many places in the New Testament, he refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loves. And you know what? You can take that for yourself. If you are a Christian, if you're born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, a child of God, you are the disciple whom Jesus loves. And he doesn't have any favorites. He loves us all the same, every single one of us. I know we don't feel worthy. Many times we think, oh man, I blew it again. That's daily with me. But you and I are the disciples whom Jesus loves. What a miracle that is. Again, he's writing in heaven. Remember, there was a door open in heaven, and John was caught up in the Spirit into heaven. That door is open right now. But once the trump of God sounds and the harpazo takes place, God's people will be caught up in the air to meet the Lord at the wedding supper of the Lamb, and the door will be closed for 7 years. And all literal hell will break loose on this earth for 7 years. You don't have to be here. As I mentioned last week in the message, this book will either scare you or prepare you. And I hope every person in this room is prepared to meet the Lord. Amen. What a glorious day that will be. The disciple whom Jesus loves, caught up into heaven. Chapter 1, verse 19 told us that he was going to write those things which will take place. And that's where we are in chapter 15. Second half of the tribulation period. Last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. He's already covered that which he had seen. Those things which are. And now he records those things which will take place after this. This is not a fiction. Not a fairy tale. This is the truth of God's word. And just as he had fulfilled all of the Old Testament prophecies concerning the coming of his son, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension into heaven, these things are going to take place as well. You can stake your life on it. How close are we? I have never sensed in my Christian life such a closeness to the trump of God sounding and the dead in Christ rising and those of us who are alive being caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And I've shared over the past few weeks how there are certain things. Keep your eyes on Israel. Don't look at America. Pray for America. But America really isn't included in Old Testament or New Testament prophecy. But Israel is. I read the Israeli newspaper every day, and it just blows me away what I see going on. And a lot of people have gone to sleep. They're not looking at what is getting ready to take place in the world. We're getting very close. And so he records those things that are going to take place. Those things that will take place in the second half of the tribulation period. Now here in verse 1, John says, I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. And he sees seven angels having seven last plagues, where in them the wrath of God is complete. Wow. The seven last plagues are also called the seven bowl judgments. And like I said, if we're here next week, we're going to look at those, all seven of them, which we will see, Lord willing, next week in chapter 16. Over the past couple of weeks, I have mentioned as well, many times we as Christians tell people, I'm saved. You know, it's like flippantly, I'm saved. God is going to show us through the Word and through the power of the Holy Spirit what we are saved from. Do you really truly grasp what you're saved from? We're going to see next week some things that are just scary, incredible things that are going to take place on this earth because the wrath of God is going to be complete. Seven last plagues, seven bowl judgments. Unlike the previous plagues that we've seen, the seal judgments and the trumpet judgments, these plagues are universal. They will be taking place on the whole earth. And are going to culminate in the abolition of all evil. And it will be the end of the world. The wicked world is about to drink, as we saw last week in chapter 14, verse 10, of the wine of the wrath of God. That's heavy as well, man. Going to drink of the wine of the wrath of God. You know what? God is making every effort. He is making every attempt to save every person on this planet. He's given us all the free will. He will not force himself on anyone. The Bible tells me it's his goodness that draws us to repentance. I wasn't beaten into the kingdom of heaven. I was loved to life. I wasn't beaten to death. I was a filthy wretch when God saved my soul from hell. And that's the truth. And it was his love that drew me, his forgiveness, his grace, his mercy. And he's still pouring it out right now upon this earth, calling upon everyone to call upon the name of the Lord, his Son, and be saved. The wicked world's about to drink of the wine of the wrath of God. It's going to be poured out in full strength. The cup of God's indignation, which means anger, vengeance. But before these seven angels pour out these last plagues, there's actually going to be an interlude of blessing. Before the cup of God's indignation, God once again reassures his faithful people. Are you assured of your salvation? Are you assured that God has not appointed you unto wrath? You need to be. Quit watching the news. Get into the good news. This is God's living word that comforts our soul. We need this today like never before. Get rid of the stinking thinking out there that the world and the news tries to put in your heart and in your mind. And so before these last seven angels pour out the last seven plagues, there's an interlude of blessing. Look at verse 2. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God. Terry and I were talking last night, and he was thinking, man, wouldn't it be awesome to have hundreds of guitars doing a worship service? And I had mentioned, one day we're going to have harps of gold. Golden harps in heaven. What's that going to sound like? You talk about a worship service. This was beautiful today. But you know what? The one in heaven is going to be absolute. You wouldn't be able to handle it in this clay earthly body. It would probably explode. What's that puff of dust? Oh, that's Pastor Joe. He's excited about the worship service, you know? We're going to have glorified bodies. And one day it is going to be absolutely nothing short of incredible. And one thing as well, oftentimes in a worship service in churches, and I'm not pointing any fingers at anybody, people sit there and don't sing. Everybody's going to be singing at this worship service. I guarantee everybody's going to be shouting from the tops of their lungs and their glorified body. Glory, honor, and praise to our King. And so here in verse 2, John sees the believers from the tribulation period. Yes, God is even going to save people from the tribulation period. As we saw a couple of weeks ago, he sends 144,000 Jews sealed with the Holy Spirit to be a witness during the tribulation period. And there will be people that will be saved. Those who overcome, Scripture tells us. Overcome what? Just what we saw last week. The beast. Antichrist. His image. His mark. And the number of his name. Do you know right now there are businesses in America and also countries in Europe that have a chip under their skin for identification purposes? Is that the mark of the beast? Very well could be. Again, I'm not going to sensationalize or speculate, but we are getting close to a mark from Satan. His image, his mark. And we saw last week that the number of his mark would be 666. Somebody had mentioned to me a few years back on babies that are being born today, the serial number starts with 666. Hello? Yeah. And so here we see there are people who will love their lives unto death, as we saw, who overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Chapter 12, verse 11 tells us that. There's only one name under heaven by which you must be saved, the name of Jesus Christ and him alone, period. But I'm not going to pull any punches. Buddha cannot save you. Hare Krishna cannot save you. Mary cannot save you. God's word says there's but one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ, and him alone. And I've said before, if you're praying to Mary, she does not hear one word of your prayer. You need to pray to Jesus Christ. You need to have a personal relationship with him as the mediator between you and holy God in heaven. There's but one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ, and him alone. Amen. And it's his precious blood shed for us that gives us access to heaven, because we're washed and cleansed from all sin and all unrighteousness. During the tribulation period, some were put to death, some were put in prison, but all by faith, and the perseverance of the saints, now stand here in verse 2 on a sea of glass. What's that going to be like for them? I can't even imagine. With harps of gold, singing, every one of them. Interestingly enough, this is a picture, a scene reminiscent of Israel. Isn't it amazing how the New Testament confirms the Old Testament? This is a picture of Israel when they were delivered from Egypt in the Exodus. What were they doing? Standing next to the Red Sea, singing the song of Moses. Wow. They were delivered by the blood on the doorpost, and the blood was that of a lamb. And it's a picture of the cross. A doorpost, they put the blood on the top and on each side, and it's a picture of the cross, that which is yet to come. By coincidence? Absolutely not. God's word is absolutely perfect. They were saved by the blood of the lamb. Everyone in the household was saved by the blood of the lamb on the doorpost. And today, the blood of Jesus Christ saves us from hell and destruction in the lake of fire, delivered by the blood of the Lamb, standing by the sea, singing the song of Moses. Check it out, verses 2 to 4. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. Wow. The Song of Moses, you can read it for yourself. It's in Exodus 15. It's incredible. It's absolutely beautiful. It's a beautiful song of worship to the Lord. When you get a chance this week, just sit down alone, shut off your phone and everything else, television set, computer, and go through it. It's an incredible song. Sometimes I find myself singing it as I'm reading it. That's why it's good that nobody's around when you're doing it. It's a beautiful song of worship. We don't have the whole song here. Otherwise, we'd have 26 verses this morning instead of just 8. But here we have the tribulation saints in verses 2 to 4, standing on the sea of glass and praising God for his word, his works, and his ways. Second part of verse 3 again. Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Would you say that's true today? I'm telling you, ever since all of this stuff has happened over the past couple of years with the COVID and everything that's going on, I have honestly never recognized God's hand in God's works like I have in the past couple of years. Thinking, Lord, where was I? I was just sharing last night, we were talking with Terry and Nancy, and unfortunately, there was a number of years America was in like Christian Disneyland. Yeah. But now that the heat's being turned up, now that things are happening in the Middle East and in Magog and Gog, hello, It just seems as though God is answering prayers like never before. We're seeing things happen like never before, because I really believe that the harvest is coming just before the trump of God sounds. And I often jokingly say, I'm not looking for the Donald. I'm looking for the trump of God, because that's what's going to take me out of here. Everybody has their opinions of politicians. Only one person can save this world, and it's Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. It's no human being. It's God's only begotten Son. And so here we see, amazing, isn't it? Imagine the joy, imagine the praise. Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. A lot of joy in that song, a lot of praise, thanksgiving, coming forth from the heart of Moses. And also it'll come forth from our heart when we read it. And so now we go from the interlude, from the voices of the victorious. And again, let me just pause there. Do you recognize and realize that you are victorious? Do you know that he that's in you is greater than he that is in this world? You know that God never loses a battle? You know God is going to see us all the way through to the end, all the way to heaven, in spite of ourselves? Sometimes we can kick against the goads, resist, but God promises that he's going to see us all the way home. Why? Because we are sealed, the Bible says in Ephesians, for the day of redemption. And so we now go from the interlude, from the voices of the victorious, to the pouring out of the vials. Uh-oh. That's a pretty good word, vial, for the bowls or for the vials. The bowls are full of the wrath of God. Look at verse 5. After these things I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of testimony in heaven was opened. And out of the temple came the seven angels, having assembled the seven plagues, clothed in bright linen, and having their chests girded with golden bands. Then one of the four living creatures gave the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God, who lives forever and ever. The temple was filled with the smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no one was able to enter the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. Wow. Again, be mindful that John is writing what he sees. I can't wait to get to heaven and ask John what he must have thought when he saw all this stuff. Because again, oftentimes we can read God's word and not really see that this is what is yet to come. It's coming. No man knows the day or the hour, but it's coming. God says so. And when God says something, it's going to come to pass. The temple in heaven is opened, it says, and out of the temple come seven angels and seven plagues, seven golden bowls of the wrath of God. The temple's filled with smoke from the glory of God, and no one could enter until the seven plagues from the seven angels were completed. And so here we see God's wrath. John's writing about it. And he says God's wrath is going to be completed. Nothing is going to stop it, because nothing is stronger or greater than God. Nothing. It bothers me when people of this world, and even at times Christians, put God and Satan on the same level. There's no comparison. And again, I was sharing this weekend how the more I study God's word and learn about his power and his awesomeness, his omniscience, omnipotence, omnipresence, it's the more I realize and recognize I don't even think I have scratched the surface on the awesomeness of God. But sometimes we bring him down to a human level. He's far greater than anyone or anything beyond measure. And I think we need to grasp that and understand that and learn that, especially in the days in which we live, because look at the fear that's gripped a lot of people in our nation today. We're to walk by faith, not by fear. We're to walk by faith, not by feeling. And you know what? When the enemy tries to grip your heart with fear, give it to the Lord. Cast all your cares on him, all your worries, all those things that stress you out. Give it to him. He can handle it a whole lot better than we can. And so here we see each angel has a specific target on earth for his bowl. And we'll see this next week. Seven bowls will be the final series of judgments upon this earth. Preceding the return of Jesus Christ. On a white horse. Greg Laurie calls it Air Horse One. And we will be coming back with him on horses. How awesome is that? I know Barbara loves horses. You're going to get a white one day, kiddo, and you're going to be coming back with the king on Air Horse One. Wow. And so next week, John's going to record the seven bowls. He's going to record the wrath of God. Read ahead. That will be poured out upon the whole earth one day. And guess what? I'm going to close right here. Tune in next week. Read ahead. But as we close, are you scared or are you prepared? It's your choice. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If that trumpet would sound right now, would you go up to be in heaven or would you still be here waiting for the closing song? You won't get one because Terry and Nancy are going to be out of here. And you're not even getting a closing prayer because I'm going to be out of here. And we laugh and joke about it, but you know what? If that trumpet would sound right now, where would you be? What do I hear? I'm a good person. I got news for you. God's word says there's none good, no, not one. All have sinned. How much is all? God doesn't grade on a curve. All fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is what? Death and eternal separation from God. But you know what? You don't have to go there. You can go to heaven. That's why I give an invitation after every message. And sometimes we go weeks without anybody accepting the Lord, but that's okay. I'm just the mailman. I will never, ever, ever pressure anyone into giving their heart and their life to Jesus Christ. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. And if God's Spirit is drawing you right now and telling you you need to be saved right now, I'd like you to stand quickly as we close and call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Anyone, as we close, today is the day of salvation. Do you know that you know? Praise God. Now leave this place and go bring some sinners in here, will you please? Oh, we're all sinners. But, yeah. The harvest is ready. It's ripe out there, isn't it? And like I said, it's the goodness of God that draws us to repentance. So I'm going to close in prayer, and we're going to invite Terry and Nancy back up here. And we're going to go through a bunch of worship songs together. Are we ready to worship the Lord? This is practice for heaven. The heavenly choir. And they do an awesome job in leading us into the throne room of grace. So come on back up here and I'll close in prayer. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for Terry and Nancy. Thank you for these precious people of yours here this morning. And so as we sing these songs, may we recognize, as Terry shared, we're singing from our heart, not just our lips. And we're singing to you, Lord, because you alone are the Lamb of God and you alone are worthy. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. And now thank you for this time of worship in Jesus' name. Amen.